Fanny Fleck. I have to say, I've interviewed opera stars, Mario Cuomo, Madeleine Albright, but I don't think I've ever been quite this nervous, because I am a very, very big fan of yours, and so is my wife, and so are many of our listeners. So,
how fabulous.
I'm excited to talk with you about this wonderful new book called Can't Wait to Get to Heaven. One of the most interesting things about it is, of course, that in this book we are returning to Elmwood Springs, Missouri, and meeting characters which we might already know from a couple of your previous books, and in particular, certain characters that maybe were a little more in the background that come to the foreground. Tell us what it's like for you as an author to work with characters like that and to kind of shift them into the background and foreground and to bring them a little further along in life's arc.
Well, I'm so glad that you asked that. I wrote two books around this little town of Elmwood Springs, Missouri. And one of my characters that was sort of like a in the background was Elmer Shimfistle, who's somewhere between 85 and 95. Nobody knows. And I always, when I was writing the last two books, I always just thought she was so funny and I loved her so much. And then when I started to write this one, I thought, I like her so much, I want to bring her back and kind of star her in this book. So I just, I feel like these people are my friends, you know. I start to think of them as people I really know, but I don't tell too many people that, because I'd like to stay in my own home and not be taken away. But you know, before we get started any further about the book, I wanted to tell you that I love Milwaukee.
Hmm. You've been there?
Yes, I have.
Very
and
good.
I was there doing theater, and I just loved it. And, of course, Shimfistle is a good German name.
Absolutely.
And I had so much fun eating in all those fabulous German restaurants there.
Very good. Well, we would welcome you back anytime. You certainly come up with great names. Elna Shimfistle, Mrs. Nancy, Knuckle Knot, Todd Wooten, the hairdresser. Although that's obviously not the major challenge. I imagine it makes some difference in the way you give life to these characters that they be well-named.
Yes, I love names. I've always just gotten the biggest kick out of names. And obviously, my own name is kind of funny itself, and I just think that people's names are hilarious, and I don't know why. That's always made me laugh from the time I was little. And the truth of it is, Greg, is that I kind of don't make them up. They're all real names. It's like Shimfistle is the maiden name of a good friend of mine, and Elmer is the name of a real aunt. I had a real Aunt Elmer.
This is one of those wonderful homespun books that we have come to appreciate from you so much. And yet it's interesting, and I guess this isn't unique to this book. It happens in other books as well, but maybe not quite so dramatically, that in this book we also are treated to a whole lot of homespun wisdom about what it's all about. I mean, even with so much as a character who for a time seems to be getting questions answered by God himself, mm-hmm. and herself. Mm-hmm. Did you think a whole lot as you wrote some of this and injected some of that philosophy, if we want to call it that, about how to best do that to make it fit somehow into kind of the comfortable country spun confines of this story?
Yes, in fact, I did, because what I have come to believe is that as you live long enough, you realize that the simplest things are the truest things. And so I tried to bring that out in this book, that life and or hereafter or whatever, it need not necessarily be as complicated as we may think, you know? And I know that for myself, the act of just enjoying nature is something that is very comforting to me. And there was a time in my life when I didn't do that. I was so busy that I didn't take the time to literally go out and watch the sun go down, or look at the flat. You know, all the old sayings. Unfortunately, as we get older, you realize, oh well, that was true. You know, you hear, oh well, take time and smell the roses, and that sounds like a joke when you're younger. But then, as you live a little bit, you go, you know, there'll always be flowers. There'll always be stars and the moon and trees and those things never change, and to me, I find comfort in that because the world, as we know it, is changing so rapidly that it gets confusing and alarming. So I try to remind myself, as well as people reading the book, that you know it might be a good idea to do that.
At one point, the character who encounters God and gets to ask a few questions and hear a little bit of insight into to what life's about is told life is like one big roller coaster ride with all kinds of bumps and twists and turns and ups and downs along the way, and all we should do is sit back and enjoy it. But the problem is most people think they're steering and get so busy trying to control it that they miss all the fun parts. That's another way to say what you were just talking about.
I have to tell you, I'm not a philosopher or anything, but I tell you, that's I know for myself, I have this false sense of, oh, well, I can control everything. Well, that's, you know, nothing. I can't control anything. So I came to believe that all I need to do is just sit back and what's going to happen is going to happen and just try to enjoy the good things while they're here.
One of the things that's interesting in this book also, as this character, let's say it's Elner Shimfissel, has this encounter, this kind of heavenly encounter. One of the first things that happens is that she's asked, do you have any questions? And her array of questions is so interesting. And, of course, that's one of the things I don't think most of us stop to think about, that if there is a place like heaven, how great it would be if we were given the opportunity to fire a few questions at the Almighty to help us understand things a little better.
Yes, and of course, Elner Shimfissel, being a curious person, even stumps her, you know, her creator that she has come up with, because most people want to know what life is all about. That would be their first question. And of course, she has a different question. The thing that has bothered her all her life, and she can't figure out, is which came first, the chicken or the egg?
And she gets something of an answer, I guess.
Yes, she does. And I still don't know.
One thing that I really loved about the book is that we see characters change, and in particular, some somewhat unlikable characters becoming more likable right before our eyes, but in ways that we can really believe. I mean, in ways that really feel authentic. But I should think that that's a very tricky thing for you as an author, to take a character and to transform them and to make it not seem like just the manipulation of a writer on the page, but that it feels like, yes, this could happen, that this person could actually travel from X to Y. How did you accomplish that so well here?
Well, thank you so much for your compliment. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't know. I don't know how I write books. Is a strange thing, you know. I sit down and I just get very quiet and it comes through, and I always feel somewhat of a fraud to say, well, I wrote this book or whatever, but the truth of the matter is I'm beginning to think that a lot of the stuff just comes through me. I'm lucky enough for these ideas to come from somewhere else, you know. I'm not being mystical or whatever, because I'll read something I've written and I'll go, well, I don't know how I came up with that, because I'm not that smart, you know. But I was very careful. I'm always very careful to write things that I know are true, because I know that people that read books can smell or feel when something is false. And I have in my lifetime seen people that you thought, oh, well, they're never going to change, somehow have a moment in time where something happens and they absolutely start, they change their minds about something and they do change. And so I know it's possible. I've seen people that were just, you think they're hopeless, and all of a sudden they will change for the best. You know, and change for the better, and you never expected it. So when I write about people that change, it's literally based on things in my life that I've seen happen, including myself.
Hmm.
You know, I've changed a tremendous amount in my life, some from age and some from really just trying to be a better person, you know. And so I know it's possible.
This central character of Mrs. Elna Shimfissel, mm-hmm, is such a likable character. One of the adoring readers who comments on this book on Amazon.com says something about how I wish I knew all these people. And I have very much the same sensation. And Elna Shimfissel especially is someone we love her so much, and so much of what she does, especially her appreciative spirit. Tell our listeners what Elna Shimfissel does on the anniversary of Thomas Edison's birthday.
Well, Elna Shimfissel started out in life, she was born in, you know, before electricity. So she lived on a farm, and when electricity came, they brought the electrical lines out to her farm. It was such a huge thing for her because she'd been so lonely, and she was able to turn on the radio, get a radio, and listen to other voices coming into her house. So she never got over being so appreciative of Thomas Edison, who she thinks invented everything that was electrical. And so she, on his birthday, every year, turns on everything in her house, the washing machine, all the lights, the radio, the television, and plays it all day in honor of Thomas Edison. So she's very appreciative of electricity. And of course, you know, most of us, we were raised with it, so we kind of don't appreciate it, but she really has tremendous appreciation for it. And I think that's the point of Elner, is that she appreciates things so much, and that's what I try to do every day, is to go through and say, well, thank you for the things I have, instead of, you know, the things I don't have, because we have so much. We're so lucky in this country to have so much. And yeah, she really appreciates electricity.
Among many, many other things.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate your writing and this wonderful new book called Can't Wait to Get to Heaven. It's published by Random House. Fanny Flagg, you've done it again. And what a great pleasure and honor to speak with you today about it on The Morning Show. Best wishes to you and to all your future writing.
Well, Greg, I thank you. I have so enjoyed talking to you, and I thank you for your time.